there, wild one. Welcome back to Wildly Intentional and to another episode of the Out Loud and On Purpose series. This one's for the curators, those who want to be intentional about what fills their shelves, shapes their values, and sparks connection. Because let's be honest, this isn't about Pinterest perfect bookshelves. It's about stories that stick and building a home library that reflects your family's heart. Today, we're talking about one of the most powerful ways to shape your family culture, books. This episode is a practical deep dive into curating a meaningful home library without the overwhelm. I recently stumbled across Sarah's channel, A Sweet and Simple Home, and I instantly found myself nodding yep to almost every single book that she shared. I kept thinking, that one's so good, or we love that one here too. Her recommendations hit home, and I knew I had to invite her on the show. Sarah is a mom of three, a homeschooler, and a book-loving soul who helps families build libraries that reflect what matter most. She loves Jane Austen, cottagecore living, and having honest conversations about motherhood and mental health. Her page is a breath of fresh air, and her recommendations are full of heart, faith, and wonder. This episode is part heart, part strategy, and a whole lot of soul. So whether you're just starting out or your bookshelves are bursting at the seams, there's something here for you. And hey, before you worry about scrambling for a notebook trying to write down every title that we mentioned today, don't worry, I've made it easy for you. Just head to the show notes and you'll find a link to bookshop.org where I've pulled together a list of every book that Sarah recommends in this episode and my own top read allowance for kids list. These are tried and true favorites that we come back to again and again. Buying through these links help support this podcast and independent bookstores, which feels like a great win-win. Let's start at the heart of it. You don't need a formal curriculum or perfectly styled shelves to create a home where stories matter. Building a rich, intentional home library is one of the most powerful and accessible ways to shape values, spark curiosity, and strengthen family identity. It doesn't have to be a big library. It just has to be a meaningful one. So Sarah, I'm curious if you could tell me what first inspired you to make books such a central part of your family's culture.
As a child, I had a lot of books growing up. My mom would constantly be reading to me, and I always enjoyed reading with her. So when I had my daughter, I went through a lot of postpartum anxiety and depression, and I wanted to find a way to connect with her. And books were that connection for both of us. It was a way that I was able to be with her and to connect with her. Even when I wasn't feeling my best, books were something that drew us both together. Even in a hard season of my life, I was able to continue that on with her as my mom did with me, and just building fun books together and go on adventures together. And it was just a really good thing to have when I was in that season, and it just continued on for each of my kids. So it kind of sparked from some postpartum anxiety and depression, and kind of went from there. And we found that how books weaved us together in sort of a way.
I love that, Sarah. It literally took you to a different world and place. Yeah. An escape for both of you.
Yes, exactly.
How beautiful. But was there a moment that hit you like, whoa, stories are shaping my kids?
For sure. Yeah, there's definitely been, especially in our faith-based books, I love sharing those with my kids, just books that bring things kind of down to their level and are able to understand things more. I remember my son would just come up to me and start talking about a book or about something that we had read together. And it was just like a reminder, like, hey, these are making memories with my kids. Like, they are remembering what we're doing in this time. And just watching them be able to starting to read and go on those adventures themselves has been really a fun thing too, to see how it's shaping them in their own stories and how they'll come back to me and tell me the stories too. So stories are just a big part of our family, and each of my kids starting to read was exactly something that made it a little more special too.
That's awesome. So what was the shift from just stories to like, I have to have a library for my kids for you?
Oh man, I think so. I started my page on Instagram. I resold stuff from thrifting. That was something I wanted to have for myself. And so I started reselling things. And I had fun with that. But then when it came to be with my third child, I was like, I cannot keep up with all the things. And during that time, we had a small home library. It was nothing huge at the time. But I started to shift towards books. And I kind of got my love for books re-sparked during that time. So I was looking for books to resell and then just kind of diving into like the world of books and how important they are and researching about what effect they can have on kids. And so from there, I had a little bookshop on Instagram and I was going through lots of different books, having lots of books come through my home and just realizing what rich literature does to kids and how it can affect their lives. And I really wanted that for my kids, especially in the fast-paced world that we have. I wanted things to slow down a little bit and be like, hey, let's spend this time together. And so story upon story kept adding to our shelves and just authors we found we loved and things like that. So that's kind of how it got to be as big as it is.
That's amazing. For me, it started with a bin that just kept exploding. Yes. And exploding. Yeah. And then here's a bigger shelf, you know, mm-hmm. and so my bin gets upgraded to a shelf and then yes. the shelf's exploding and the piles are everywhere. And then yes. I need a bigger shelf. And then I think we've upgraded shelves and bins about 6 different times. And now I'm at the place where it's like, I just need a shelf or a bin in every room.
Yes.
But
yes.
we still have stacks everywhere. So I think there's just a part of it. Yes.
Yes, for sure.
But what an incredible problem to have, right?
I know. I love it. It's a wonderful problem.
Why do you think home libraries matter today?
I think, especially for us, I saw the fast-paced culture that we live in. A lot of parents are going and doing things, and so are kids. And I wanted that opportunity to have something to slow down in our home, a place where we could all come back together and to be together in those stories. It's kind of like a thread from each of my kids to me. It's building a thread between each of us, the stories that we're sharing together. It's building a connection with them that I long to have as a mom. And we both know it goes by so, so fast. And I don't want those moments to go by so quickly that we didn't build memories together, that we didn't go on adventures and stories together. So our home library is kind of almost like our central base. As a family, we come back to this spot after our crazy day and we have that rhythm of reading our Bible story together, reading a book, couple books together. And it just kind of brings us all back together in how a family should be, especially in like this fast paced world.
For sure. You talking about the thread that weaves together.
Yeah.
Like I remember one of the first stories I was reading to my kids. It was about the rag coat and just like, we started doing extras, like different activities with it and yes. talking about it and then looking up a video and then it brought us to Dolly Parton and then we yes. listened to her song and then it became a whole thing and then the family's crying and it's yes. like, this is all Fishies. From a book, you know, and it's just sitting there thinking like, I want them to remember this book and yeah. all these fun things we did and I need, like, I don't want to return this one to the library. Like, so talk to me about like, how do you decide for you personally, Sarah, like mm-hmm. what makes it into like a book you have to have on your shelf versus one that you're okay returning to the library or how do you go through that process?
I think through each season of life, we've kind of gone through different types of books. There's a season where my son was scared of the dark or he was like, it was just different things that we went through as a family and maybe something about friendship. So I would kind of dive into those books with them and decide, hey, this is a great one to reference back to about friendship. Like, what kind of friend do we want to have in life? And what kind of friend do we want to be? And so if it's something that we're going to reference again and again, I love to have it on our shelf. But it also goes off of my kids' interests as well. My daughter is super into the Vanishing Bear books right now. And so those are going to be some that are always going to be on our shelves. She reads them continually over and over. And same with my boys too. If I'm looking for a book for them, I want books that are rich and bring new words to my kids even. Like there are books that we've had that it's just like Sally went to the zoo. But when we add in those adjectives and those other words, it makes the story so much more rich and the kids are able to learn more about words. They're learning about what things mean and things like that. So a lot of times we get books recently on picture book biographies. We're really into those right now. So we have read one about J.R.R. Tolkien. We have a couple about Jane Austen. And it's just a really fun way that we as a family are diving into learning about these authors of some of our other favorite books and how they correlate, and how, like Beatrix Potter, how her life reflected in her stories. So those have been really fun for us. But it's definitely based upon season. My kids go through different likes and dislikes and things like that. So that's kind of how we decide what to keep. And sometimes those more cartoonish books usually are from the library if my kids really want them. I don't want to stop them from ever picking up and reading a book just because I don't like the characters, the pictures or something like that. But I want them to be able to pick books and to realize what good books are. And maybe this is just a library book. We're going to look at it for a little bit and then we're going to return it. But we want to have books that really feed our souls and cultivate the kind of culture we want in our home. So
I love that. I mean, I think you're absolutely right, right? Like, it's easy to get caught up on the ideal for what we want in our library, mm-hmm. or what fits our version of the perfect library. But sometimes the most meaningful books to our kids aren't the ones that we pick. Like right now, I have an entire shelf of Star Wars books.
Yeah.
And I would have never curated that intentionally for my kids, but my son is obsessed. And he's just starting to read and he's poring over them. And he just, like, he can't get his nose out of it. And so he's learning new words. We even got the whole phonetic set of Star Wars. And he's flipping back and forth, and he's understanding the storyline.
Yeah.
And it's hit me that, like, he's genuinely interested in this. And this is where the magic is happening. And let him be in what he's loving. Yeah. And then once he learns how to read, he'll just go from there, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, sometimes our job isn't perfect curation, but it's to just follow the kids' curiosity and give them space to follow that.
Absolutely. Yes.
You keep talking about curating by season, and I love that. And so I think when you're referring to the seasons, when I hear seasons, I'm like this farming background, right? That's like spring, summer, fall, winter.
Yeah.
Like, are you rotating books out in that way too? Or like, do you rotate them out like toys? Or can you talk to me about like, how do you keep them fresh? Or
yeah. So I have seasonal books separate from our regular bookshelves. I love to bring out seasonal books, especially like Ocean, or like if upcoming summertime, like Ocean Things or Lighthouses, just those type of books that kind of were hidden away for a little bit and they come out again. And my kids are like, this is a brand new book to us. And it's like, you just haven't seen it in a year. So those things are really fun to see, like from season to season. I love seeing it too. We get out our butterfly books during the springtime and we're reminded about what it looks like for a butterfly to go from a caterpillar all the way to a butterfly. And it's just, my kids know it, but seeing it again refreshed in the season and when we can step outside and see it as well has been super fun to do together as a family. We love nature books. We love being outside, and just having those seasonal books allow us to take it, to bring it inside. And also we can take those books outside and see what's happening in the world around us and how God created things differently through each season. So it's always fun for me to pull them out, and the kids love them too. So it's fresh in that sense for them to be seeing these books again each season. And they kind of know, oh, I loved this book last year. I still love it this year. So it's kind of a little fun surprise for them each time.
Yes. And I've noticed that too. When you bring out the bin or you bring in the seasonal books, it's quiet.
Yes.
And they're just, whoa, what is all this? And it's like a little surprise and delight.
Absolutely.
I mean, Sarah, watching your videos and your reels and stuff on Instagram, you have a ton of books. How do you track your books? Like, do you use an app? How do you know where to find them? Like, when you're going thrifting, you've mentioned, right? Like, so when you're out and about, how do you know, like, oh yeah, I have this one? Or like, how many books do you have? Do you have any idea? Like, can you just talk about, like, how do you manage all of them?
So actually, we were just with friends at church and someone asked me, how many books do you think you have in your home? And my husband was like, well, and he was like calculating. I was like, we probably have over 2,000 books in our house. So he's like, 95% of those are children's books. A lot of the times, I just know because we're in them a lot, but it does help with my oldest. She, like I was mentioned before, she's super into bears, seeing bears. So anytime we're out, she has such a good memory when it comes to books. I'm like, do we have this one? And she's like, yeah, we have that one. I'm like, okay. So it's helpful to have a young child with a more spry mind that remembers the books that we have. But I also have used, there's an app. I'll have to look it up again. I think it's called LibBib. You're able to scan your books and it just uses that and creates a database for all the books that you have. And so that's something I've been wanting to do with the kids and just hand them my phone and they can scan them. Yes.
Is it library thing?
I think so. Something like that.
Yes. It has a scanner on it. I use this and it's amazing. And you can categorize it. Do you categorize them too?
I haven't gotten to do it yet. I think that's going to be a summer project for us to just kind of figure out what we have. I think it's just fun to see what we have too. And the kids like playing library with, you know, my phone. But I think because we're in the books a lot of the times, I'm able to remember what we have and what we don't have. As far as where I get my books, I do a lot of thrifting. I also have, I used to be a bookshop on Instagram, so I know a lot of the community there. There's a lot of moms that love sharing books, and I know their passion behind it too, and just the kind of moms they are. And it's a really sweet community to be able to hop into and buy books from these moms and support them. And as their moms too, they understand like the different types of books you might like to have in your home library, or they can give you flip throughs. And you don't really get that anywhere else on the internet to have someone actually like show you the book you're about to buy and get to know it a little bit more. I sometimes buy on thrift books and Amazon, but a lot of times I'm on Instagram just looking at other moms that have pages like mine and seeing the books that they love and review. And I have this extensive Amazon cart that I just keep the books in there thinking, okay, if it goes on sale or if I see this title or this author, I want to grab that. A lot of times I stick with certain authors that I love and I kind of go from there and see if they have more books in there, a series or other stuff like that. So I've really enjoyed curating different authors, especially in our home library. So that's been fun.
Awesome. I want to talk about authors in a minute here, because one thing you didn't mention, and I'm curious if you've done this yourself, is library book sales. Have you gone to library book sales to get books?
I have. The ones that I've seen comparatively to other ones is not anything spectacular, but I have been to a couple and it just fills my soul.
Yes. And you can walk out with bags of books for like $5.
Yes, exactly. I think it's definitely worth like even traveling for those as well to get some really great books for your home library and support the local library too. So that's a great exchange on both parts.
Yeah, I called all the local libraries within like an hour of my home and asked when their book sales were, and I put them all on my calendar.
That is brilliant. Oh my gosh, I'm doing that.
But the little pro tip here is like you need to, if they're like, oh, the sale is from 10 to 5, be there at 10.
Yes.
Book sale people are crazy.
They're intense.
And I mean, I think we kind of fit into that category too.
Yeah, like, they probably think I'm intense.
Right. We're managing three kids and like carts full of books. Oh like, God. Oh my gosh, this amazing copy of Anne and Green Gables. Or like,
yes.
So it's a lot of fun. But yeah, yes. I really enjoy the thrill of the hunt for books. Or if someone, like I take a lot of screenshots of books when people are sharing them.
Yep.
And so then when I see one that I'm like, oh, that looks like such a great story, and I find it in the wild, I get like, really giddy.
I know, me too. I think it's like the treasure hunt. I think it's why I love thrifting as well. Like the treasure hunt of like, okay, I've waited for this and I found it at a great price. And I mean, when you're buying books, children's books can be expensive, especially newer releases and stuff like that. So when you find that book out there and it's like a dollar or something like that, you're like, man, this is going to be awesome on our shelf and we can continue to buy more because I found a good deal.
Right. Well, let's get into authors and series. You've been mentioning Bernstein Bears, but like, I'm just curious to know what else is like, yes, this author, obsessed, or this series for sure.
Yeah. So one of my favorite authors is Barbara Cooney. I love her book. Miss Frumpius is probably my favorite, one of my favorite children's books. I remember my mom reading that one to me, and the reminder of making the world a beautiful place has always just been so sweet. And I love her illustrations, and she just tells stories so beautifully. So she is definitely one that I continue to come back to, and my kids continue to come back to as well. As far as series go, I think we have really liked, I have it back here peeking out. They're called the Story Orchestra books. Have you ever heard of those?
I think just through your reel that you posted the other day, but I was like, I have to have these.
They're so beautiful. The author, I think it's just an illustrator. Her name is Jessica Courtney Tickle, and her illustrations are some of my absolute favorite. These books, you're opening them up and they tell a story, but they also have pressing, you can press a button and it plays this beautiful music from composers and different things like that. So it's been a feast for my family, for our eyes and for our ears with these books, because they're just so well done. And my kids are learning fun stories like the Nutcracker, and they're learning about the Magic Flute, Sleeping Beauty, and just the composers and all that stuff as well in a book, which is really exciting to have so many things that you can learn just from like one book or another.
That a feast for my eyes and my ears.
Yes.
That's so awesome. Are your kids pretty artistic?
They are, and they get it from their dad.
My daughter especially loves to draw, and I feel like when a book has good illustrations, it's like a whole separate story inside the story.
Yeah.
Brian Selznick, have you read any of his books?
Oh, that name sounds so familiar.
The Invention of Hugo Cabret. It won a Caldecott. It's incredible. It's like a 500-page book, but over 200 pages are insanely detailed illustrations. Like, I don't understand why Brian Selznick is not listed on more like must reads for kids, because it was one of the best read alouds we've ever had. And like both my kids are trying to draw that way and like just poring over the illustrations. So I've been obsessed with his drawings. And then we'll talk about too, like even the illustration styles of like Mo Willems, just bare simplicity, right? But like absolutely brilliant. And those are some of the most fun books to read. To read with them and to do voices with them.
Yes.
And then Tommy DePaola, too, is another illustrator that I just, like, any book I see that has his name on it, I'm like, and that's going in my, it's too good.
Yes.
Are there any others that you can think of, either for illustrations or just storylines that?
Oh, I have so many. Let me sprint. I'm very much into British literature. I love the simplicity of authors and illustrators like Helen Oxenberry and Shirley Hughes. They do such a beautiful job of telling stories and having beautiful pictures with them. They're very simple, but I think that's all that kids need sometimes, of the simple, beautiful pictures. So those are two authors I absolutely love. Another series we love is, I've talked about it so many times on my page, it is a faith-based series called The Tales That Tell the Truth. And it is just spoke into our hearts as a family. And as believers, it's a great tool for us to use to be able to share with our kids Bible stories in different types of ways. And so that's another series that we are continually adding to and absolutely love.
I love how clear you are on your family's values, Sarah, and like what you let into your home and you don't. And I think that for every family, you know, sometimes filters look different. For us, it's not always about agreement, but expanding. Because books open doors and they shake our thinking.
Yes.
And they help us to hold more perspectives. I want our shelves to reflect that for the kids, so that we want to come back to all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever sit around all your books and wonder, like, how did I get here? Like what was it that led me to piles and piles of books? And like, I guess what I'm asking is, are there philosophies that you've been exposed to or curriculums that have really made you get to where you are with piles of books everywhere?
I think once I started doing a bookshop of having all these books at the tips of my fingers, I was able to really realize what kind of books we wanted in our family and what we wanted to have, what values did we want to add to our home, and just kind of basing it off of that. Also, another book that was really like fundamental in helping me decide what books to bring into our home was Honey for a Child's Heart. That book is really, really good. I started reading it. I was like, this book is me. This is exactly what kind of culture I want my home to be. And so that book has lots of suggestions, but it also has lots of advice and how to get good books into the hands of our kids. So I think just by having the bookshop and by having Honey for a Child's Heart, I was able to filter through them and be like, okay, what do we want to have in our home library? What values do we have as a family? And what do I want to teach my kids? I don't want books just of perfect kids. I want books that show emotions. I want them to see themselves in these stories. I want them to understand that they're not the only one that deals with this and things like that. So yeah, I think that those two things in my life have really helped with deciding what comes into our home library.
Honey for a Child's Heart is such a great book. I loved the like by age recommendations. Mm-hmm. I read that one too. And that's when I started the list. Like I have books that I'm on the hunt for. And yes, that was one that I was like, I can't just return this to the library. Mm-hmm. And I didn't until I wrote them all out on this list. And
yes,
you saying that, like that was definitely a launch pad for me. For our family, we use the 5-in-a-row curriculum. It's a lot of like reading rainbow books and mm-hmm. Caldecott honors. And it was doing those, like The Rag Coat was one of mm-hmm. those books that then it was like, I was having too many of these moments where it's like, we read it and we do all the activities with it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that was such an awesome week. Like I always want to remember that week. I want them when they're in their 30s, 40s coming home or when they have kids to pull it off the shelf and remember, do you remember when we made that covered wagon or whatever, you know? And that's when, for me, that 5-in-a-row curriculum was like, I got to start buying these books. Like I want them to always be on my shelf.
Yes.
It's just, it's so nostalgic. And And then I almost started buying like 2 copies of some books. Cause I'm like, what if my daughter comes home when she's older and she pulls a book off a shelf and it's like, oh, I really want this copy. I can be like, take it, you know, cause I have a couple of multiple copies.
I love that. Such a great idea.
That's kind of the mark that I really hope that we're leaving on them by doing this, absolutely. You know, because it's a lot of work to be curating such mindful libraries, and it's a lot of money.
It definitely.
Even good deals and stuff, like we're dropping a lot of money on books, but to me, like this is a part of their inheritance or the legacy that I'm leaving. Mm-hmm. I'm absolutely curious, like what your thoughts are on all that.
Yeah, for sure. I think I just love sharing these books with my kids, and there are definitely some books that I have said, okay, this is one I'm saving for my grandkids, or this is one that I'm going to give to them. Maybe I should get extra copies like you. I'm going to give to them when they have their own kids and be like, hey, remember these memories? I want you to have this with your children. Just like we had this special time, I saved these books because it was a special memory between us, or it was when you really loved when you went through this. Here, have this. And just to be able to gift them the books that maybe we went through together and the ones that they loved so much. And to see mom kept a hold of that and she knew how important that was to me. I feel like that will mean a lot to them, especially when they become parents. And I mean, I'm going to be a grandma that has all these books still. So yeah.
That's how my mom is. Like I remember as a kid, her going to the book sales and buying tons of books. And like I just went back and looked at all of them and left with piles of them. And she's been helping me get some of the ones in the 5-in-a-row curriculum. And
awesome.
I think that there is such a tie like to our hearts and knowing that these stories are shaping them. And we're playing a massive role in that.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
I love that. So Sarah, we're talking a lot about reading. And like, let's be real for a second, right? We have little kids that are squirmy. They're loud. They interrupt. Does reading out loud to your kids like really look like?
Oh, it probably looks like everybody else's. My kids interrupt me. My son has to ask me a question about everything I've read that I've just explained. I have my toddler. We have a little sensory swing. He's smacking around, hitting people while we're reading. But it's not a peaceful, we all sit down, they sit quietly with their hands folded and listen to me read. A lot of the times it's questions. A lot of times it's interruptions. I need to go to the bathroom. But I think especially in this stage of parenting we're in, that's just what's going to happen. Kids aren't going to magically just sit down and always listen. But I think the thing for me is consistency and showing them that this is our reading time. You need to continue to be quiet, like, and just being able to teach them to sit still, be still for a moment and just listen. And I think that's really hard, even as adults, just to be still and listen, or to just, you know, be calm or quiet. So it's just a little bit of that time of them being able to practice self-control, practice listening. Even though it's really hard for me sometimes, I wish I would just be like, throw a TV show on or something, but I want to invest in my children's hearts and I want to invest in their future. And I know what reading does for kids rather than other things I could easily throw at them. So it's kind of choosing the hard right now, but I think as our children get older, it will definitely get easier. But right now it's a little chaotic as the most that have a 2-year-old or a 6-year-old will imagine. But I think it's the consistency of continuing on and knowing what you're pouring into your kids is going to matter.
For sure. And I mean, I resonate so deeply with all of that because I'm reading while nursing a baby, you know, and they're playing Magnetiles or dumping Legos out. And so when you say be still, are your kids actually sitting crisscross applesauce looking at you, or are they like being still and coloring or being still and playing? I'm just curious about that.
Yeah, for sure. They're not just sitting there crisscross. A lot of times I like to give them something to fidget with or something. We have a wobble board. My son will just like stand on it and listen. Or my daughter will be coloring, making illustrations for the story that we're reading. So a lot of times they're not necessarily still in their bodies, but they're still in, they're listening and they're receiving what I'm telling them and just like kind of, I guess, more so quiet. They're quieting themselves a little bit to just practice that and be good listeners and to hear the story that we're going to through together.
Do you ever have these moments where like you're reading and they're fidgeting on their board or mm-hmm. whatever they're doing, right? And you're like, oh my God, are they following this? Like, what's going on?
Yes.
And then like, there's times when they'll be like, oh my God, what happened next? Hurry up, mom. And it's like, oh, well, you're really into this. Like, because like if you were to just walk into my living room right now, you might not think my kids are even listening to a word I'm saying, but like mm-hmm. they are. And it doesn't have to be eyes on us to right. hear it.
Yeah.
And I think audiobooks are a good testament to that. Do you guys Absolutely. Incorporate that at all, or listening in the car or anywhere else?
Yeah. So we have a Yodo player. We love our Yodo player. My daughter's probably the one that loves it the most at this current stage. She's 8 years old and she enjoys having that little kind of thing for herself and the stories that we have for her. She's more of a story one. My boys are more into the music of it. For my boys, they're not as keen in listening to audiobooks. But with my 6-year-old, we still do audiobooks. Sometimes it's a picture book of an audiobook and he can flip through the pages along with it, which I think is great too. It's just someone is reading to him through that. So my youngest isn't quite in them, but my daughter loves them. And my middle guy is right in the middle with shorter ones, but he enjoys them as well. But they're great. I love just sticking a card in at breakfast time or when we need a calm moment or something. So they've really been good. And we've listened in the car as well on like road trips. So it's really fun to have those. And it's nice to give yourself a little break sometimes too from reading. And to be like, let's stick this on. And you know what? You can cuddle with me and we can listen and color together or something like that. So the Yodo cards have been great for us.
We are huge fans of Yodo. Mm-hmm. We love our Yodo players. But I do think there's some books that are better listened to. The Invention of Hugo Cabret was incredible. It takes place in a train station. And so you hear like the train track, like the steps going and stuff.
Yes.
Like things that like, even if you're into voices for your kids, like you're not doing that, you know, like, or even professional narration is so nice. And to your point, it gives us a break sometimes, which is kind of nice to just check out and listen to a story ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Can't do the train sounds and read the story. So a little difficult there, but yeah, I love the elements that, especially like Yodo cards or audiobooks can bring it more to life. It adds that extra volume to the story and just being like, we're immersed in it together. We're going on this adventure together.
Sarah, I'm just curious, like a parent that feels behind or like my kid's never going to sit down and let me read to them, or they feel like they've missed this read aloud window. My kids are great readers. I'm not going to read aloud to them. or even if you have, maybe there's a mom that has kids that don't really, they're not naturally drawn to books. What would be a book you would recommend for them? Or what would you say to that mom or dad?
I think my middle guy was definitely my most resistant to books. He was like, I don't want to look at that. He would be one that would be like, I'm not enjoying reading with you, mom. And that kind of broke my heart a little bit. You're like, but we love books. So that was a little difficult for him as my middle child, not loving books. I think as far as that goes, if a kid doesn't enjoy sitting down and reading with you, it's just the consistency of, hey, let's go on this adventure together. I heard that they do this in this book. Or just trying to find their interest in things. If they're super into robots, if they're super into ballerinas, find books on those topics. And usually they're more drawn to come in and snuggle with you and see kind of what you're reading, what's interesting to them. Another thing, if you feel behind, like you have never started a home library, there's no need to feel behind. You can start today. There's no, oh, I have to start when they're a baby and grow it up to here. No, just start now. You can just start going to the library, finding books or authors that you both enjoy and love to see on the pages, an illustrator that you're like, oh, they do such a great work here. And so just kind of doing that with your kids, especially if they're a little bit older, being like, hey, I really like this style. Let's look at the style of this illustrator, see if we can find something else. Kind of make it a bonding experience of building it together with them and seeing what they love and how to grow your library that way. You're never too late to start a library. I think read alouds can go all the way up till they're out of your home. I always want to be reading with my kids, whether they're 2 or 18. So I just want that to be something in our home that we come back to and that we're always just enjoying together. Something that we know we can do with mom. She's not too busy for this, or she wants to spend time with me and do this. So it definitely speaks to the kids when they see that you're willing to sit down with them. And I think a lot of kids nowadays want quality time with their parents. And I think just by starting a home library, starting and go to the library with your kids is really just a, I love you. I want to spend time with you. I want to go on these adventures with you. I want to learn new words with you. Just things like that really speak a lot to them and tells them that you care.
Yes. Yes to all of that, right? And like, if you have a book or a handful of books, you've already started your library, essentially, absolutely, right? So like the library can be as big or small as you want in your own home. And I think too, it's more about like the quantity, or like to our conversation earlier, like about your values and what you're trying to curate. That's more important than the quantity of books, right?
Literally.
So yeah. I think it's wonderful, Sarah. And I love that you kind of transitioned into the omnipresent screen, right? Like we have this saying in our home, like stories over screens. And I mean, I'm going to go deeper into the idea of oral tradition, storytelling, and the ancient power of reading aloud in a future solo episode, because I've got a lot to say there. But today, I just want to keep it on things that are practical and focused on building the library at home that reflects our values. That said, I do feel like we need to take a quick detour, because I know we both feel this one. In a world full of screens, choosing story isn't just a hobby. It's rebellion. Like, it's not about screen guilt. It's about choosing presence, story over static, and choosing connection over consumption. Sarah, tell me, how has reading aloud helped anchor your family in today's digital world?
I think I mentioned before about the thread that binds our family together. That thread, I want to be strong. I want us to build a family culture that is strong and works together. And I think by having that book time, by having that time together in something we can talk through rather than looking at a screen, it's so much more healthy for a family to be able to do that together and to have something, a common goal they're working toward. So a lot of times my kids want to watch screens and I always have to remind them that we're going to do a story first, or we're going to do something else. We're not an anti-screen here, but we're going to fill our minds with things that matter. And then you can enjoy a screen. It's not evil, but we're going to fill our minds with good things first. And then you can have that little time to do what you would like on a screen. But screens really, I feel like they take away from a family culture. You're not communicating. You're not just building that time together. My husband and I often say we want our kids to have a 90s childhood. We don't want them to be on screens all the time. We want them to be outside playing. We want them to be in the world around us. And reading books together is one of those things that is just really important in our home to building a good family culture, that we are spending that time together and that we're able to love on each other through snuggles, through just sitting together. Even my oldest is 8 and she's still snuggling up with me and stuff like that. And those days go by so fast, and I don't want us to waste that time on a screen or something like that. I want us to actually continue to weave that thread between all of us to build a stronger family culture. And I think by having a home library and reading really helps that to become stronger.
I love that, Sarah. We're very limited screen interactions, but mm-hmm. even if I want to read a book aloud, or we have a read aloud bin that we go to, I have a rule that we have to read the book before we watch the movie.
Yes.
So if you really want to watch Homeward Bound, I don't know if you know this, but I didn't know this until this year, that there's actually a movie about Homeward Bound. Or there's actually a book about the movie Homeward Bound.
We
haven't either. We've only watched the movie on that because I just learned about the book. But that's kind of the exception. For the most part, we read the Wild Robot series and then we watched the movie. And then it opens. It makes the screen not just a screen. When you've read the book and then you watch the movie, you're able to talk about artistic differences and how the movie director had their own storyline. Or then you can talk about the differences between the book and the movie. And so for me, that just opens up a whole nother conversation and similarities and differences and just a whole extra added bonus of education.
My daughter is reading Ellen. She is listening to Ella Enchanted. And I was like, this is a movie, you know? And she's like, oh, really? I was like, but we're not watching it until you finish it. So I think that definitely, I love, you said, the comparison. They're able to be oh, they did this in the book and this in the movie. It's just so fun for them to be able to work on those skills too, that learning of how they did it in the book, how they did it in the movie, comparing and contrasting, and just allowing them to have that, to work that part of their brain too, just to be like, okay, this is, they can do this in this book and they can do this in this movie, and just talk about that. And that creates more of a conversation with you and your kids, even though there's a screen involved too, but it creates more of a conversation than if you would have just watched the movie. It's able to be like, okay, the book did this, the movie did this, let's talk about it. Did you like this better or did you like this better? So that just even more so creates more conversations and more bonding together with our kids that we want. And so I think that's really fun.
And even more imagination play. We just finished reading Little House on the Prairie out loud. Mm-hmm. And then we watched the movie. And because the movie is actually the move to Kansas, right?
Yes.
And so we watched that. And I'm like, now we're not going to watch the TV show until we finish On the Banks of Plum Creek. So we're reading that one right now.
Oh, so
and
fun.
Then we've read the book, we watched the movie, and now here come the Magna Tiles. And I have Lego horses. And then she's used a toilet paper roll to make a wagon. And now she's doing her version, right? And so we'll talk about, well, in the movie, this happened and this didn't happen in the book. What would you have done if you wrote it? Or how would you have done the ending? And then it just, boom, launches this free play where asking to be on a screen isn't even part of the conversation. It's I'm making the story me now. And I felt like they did that with Winnie the Pooh, telling them about Christopher Robin, then they went into just their stuffies and what would their tales be with their stuffed animals? And they did that for weeks. It was awesome. Have your kids ever done that? Just really been submersed in a story? And if so, which story? And can you give me an example of how they did that?
So my son is really into robots and he loves building things and things like that. Chris Van Dusen has a series called How to Build a School, How to Build a car. And so I read that with my son and I knew he would love this. It's just so intricate and funny and just like so creative. So he then, after we read the book, he's like, Mom, if I built a car, this is what it would look like. And he'd have this and this and this and that. And he was just showing me all the different types of things that he would have done if he built a car. And I was like, buddy, that is so fun. Like, tell me more about it. Like, what color would it be? Like, why did you add this to it? Why did you do that? And so it was just a fun conversation between the two of us of this fun car that he built. And he loves to be silly. He loves to be creative and who loves to draw these things. So it was really an opening experience to be like, oh, he's really paying attention and really loves these books. And it's created conversation between the two of us. And we've really enjoyed that whole series. And whenever we read a different one, he's like, well, I would do this. And that's silly. I wouldn't do that. I would do this because of this. So that's definitely one for him that he's really enjoyed. Little House on the Prairie as well for my daughter. We've definitely played Little House on Prairie before. I've seen them outside fishing with Pa, and my daughter has a Little House on the Prairie dress, and she's like, I'm gonna be Laura, and I'm gonna go outside. I'm fishing with Pa, and then we're gonna go down. I don't even remember what she did. It was so sweet to see them like really latch on to these characters and the characters that we love, that I loved growing up. Seeing my kids latch on to them as well is just, I don't know, it's just something so nostalgic and something so sweet about it to see them loving something that you loved at the same age. So those are definitely two series that I've seen my kids kind of take it out of books and go into play with it.
Yes, that's how I feel about Ramona Quimby, age 8. I have my copy from the 80s, and then she has her revised illustration, you know, and it's like, yeah. I love that it still speaks to the heart. And then it is a double bonus for us because it meant something to us as a kid. And then now as a mother, it's still such a fun book. It's just great.
Absolutely. And you know, it's good writing when it lasts through the times. Not that we were old, but from our kids, when we were kids, all the way till now, this is classic literature that has been loved all this time and hasn't gone out of style and is still grabbing the hearts of children. These books are good when you see that they love them just as much as you did back in the day.
All right. So Sarah, before we close, I would love to ask you, what's one book or resource you think every family should have on their shelves?
I think for a picture book that everyone should have on their shelf is definitely Miss Brumpius. I absolutely love that story. I love the way Barbara Cooney writes in it. I think it's a great reminder of bringing something beautiful into the world, and how we can continue to do that today, how we can encourage others and just be that spark for other people. I just think that book is so classic. It can go to so many different ways in our lives. I've seen it in my life from when I was younger, how it helped me in different areas. And now as an adult, I'm seeing how I want to create a beautiful home for my family. So that's definitely one I would say is a beautiful book, but also full of good writing and a good message that would be beautiful to have on home shelves.
I love that. I don't think you're alone in that recommendation, because that is actually a 5-in-a-row book as well.
Yeah.
And Barbara Cooney is incredible. So that's such a great recommendation for shelves, Sarah.
Yes.
Okay. I know we've talked a lot about books today, but I have to know, is there a book that has changed you in a way that you'll never forget?
Yes, for sure. I think a picture book for myself that I would constantly come back to and think through again and again was The Oldest Student, How Mary Walker Learned to Read. It is by Rita Lorraine Hubbard and illustrated by Oge Mora. It is a beautiful story of this woman who actually learned to read when she was only, I think she was 116, is when she learned to read. It was just a story that I read with my kids one day, and I just remember being so immersed in this story with my children and learning how she went from slavery all the way up to her life, and just her resilience and her faith in the Lord. It was just a beautiful picture, and I often think back on it, and I've often told my kids even before, like, if Mary can learn to read at 116, or under 16, you can do it too. Like, she went through a lot in her life, and just, it was a beautiful story and it was so well written. And I constantly come back to it in my mind of how resilient people can be and how beautiful it can be to learn to read. Even, it was important to her even to read when she was in her old age, how important reading is, and that she would still pursue that at an older age when she could have just been like, I'm old enough, you know, I've gotten through life. But how important reading is, that someone would be like, I'm going to do the hard work and learn how to read even in my old age. So that's one picture book that has really like changed me, just in the fact that I enjoy learning about people and their resilience and how she was just an amazing woman. And so I really enjoyed that book, and I would recommend that one to have in your home library as well. But I often think back on that one and read it with my daughter, and just kind of, we both marvel at it like, wow, that's amazing. We both, like, we've read it many times and we're both like, that's crazy. I can't believe she did it at that age and what she went through and all the different things. So that's one that's really shifted how I view our home library and the type of books that we want to have in our home library. As a mom, I want my kids to know that they can do hard things and that they can go through life through hardships, and that we can rely on the Lord for the strength to get through things that are hard, and we can do things even when we're old. So it's just a beautiful book all around that I just love referencing in our home.
That's going to go on my list to find.
Yeah.
It sounds incredible. There's so much I love about that. 116 is, I don't know anyone that's been that old, let alone learn to read at that. So
exactly.
I love the passion that you just talked about. Like, you can tell that book has imprinted you. And probably my favorite part about your entire response, Sarah, is that like, your book that changed you is a picture book.
Yeah.
I think there's such a stigma around like, well, picture books are for little kids, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that well-written picture books are actually for everyone. And there's so many great lessons, and just, they're incredible. Like, well-written ones,
yes. Right?
There's some that you're like, yeah, that, I mean, for sure, that can be a return to the library pretty quickly.
Right.
But there's others that, to your point, just really touch your heart and you're just like, oh my gosh, that was a really beautiful story. Sarah, thank you so much for your time today. And don't worry, if your TBR pile is already overflowing, I've got you. All of the books mentioned in this episode are linked in my curated bookshop list. You'll find everything that Sarah mentioned today, my personal list of top read alouds for kids, and of course, any titles that we couldn't stop raving about. That link is in the show notes, and when you shop through it, you help support both this show and independent bookstores. A win-win. If you want Sarah's guide, I'll link to her shop too. It's a great tool, and I love supporting creators who truly walk the walk. Each episode, I share something I wildly recommend, a book, tool, or rhythm that helps bring these ideas into real life. And this week, I've got a few. First up, Dolly Parton's Imagination Library. If you haven't heard of this, it's an incredible free program that sends beautiful books straight to your home every month from birth to age 5. And the book choices, genuinely so good. It's one of the most meaningful literacy projects I know of. Next up, Read Aloud Revival. If you're ever wondering what to read aloud next or looking for book lists by season or value, Sarah McKenzie is a treasure trove. Beautiful lists, cozy vibes, book club energy for real life. And finally, 5 in a row. This is what actually kickstarted my own journey of curating our home library more intentionally. It made me realize I didn't just want to check out good books. I wanted to own the ones that reflect our values and keep stories in our family rhythm. And I want to thank you, listener. Thank you for making space for this kind of conversation. Whether it's one shelf or a whole room, your library doesn't have to be big. It just has to reflect what matters most to you. If this episode gave you something to think about, hit subscribe so you don't miss what's next. All you have to do is head to wildlyintentional.com or tap the link in the show notes. And if someone popped into your head while listening, don't ignore it. Send it to them. The movement starts when we start by sharing what actually matters. Now, before we go, I'd love to hear from you. What is one book that your family keeps coming back to? DM me your wildly recommended pick. Who knows? I may share it on a future episode. I hope you'll join me for the next episode, where we're shifting gears into the known. I'm sharing the story of our land, how it found us, what we hoped to build here, and the unexpected ways that it shaped our rhythms, our family, and our purpose. It's about naming what calls you, honoring what was, and choosing to co-create something sacred, one season at a time. Saying it out loud, on purpose. Because living quietly isn't the same as living truthfully. Thanks for sitting with us around the table today. Your time here matters. Now go read something beautiful. Go share a story. And remember, stay rooted, be brave, and live wildly intentional.